Welcome to this podcast series on inclusion and education from the University of Leeds. Our research brings together experts in education, childhood and youth studies with an aim to promote equality across family, education, policy, legal and community settings. To read more about our work, please visit the School of Education website. You can find this link and others discussed during the podcast in the programme description.
Hello, my name's Luke and welcome to episode 7 of the Inclusion in Education podcast. Today we have two guests, if you would like to introduce yourselves.
Hi, yes, so I'm Dr. Bronwyn Swinnerton. I'm a Senior Research Fellow in Digital Education in the School of Education at the University of Leeds. And I'm also a Light Fellow in Learning Analytics, that's the Leeds Institute for Teaching Excellence. And I'm the Deputy Director of the Centre for Research in Digital Education. My role includes both research and teaching. My research really focuses on the use of digital technology in higher education and the adoption of technology by staff and students. So I'm working on the Learning Analytics project with Light, but I'm so that's really researching the implementation of a new learning analytics system that is being implemented across the whole institution. I'm very interested in online learning and its increasing presence in higher education. And I also teach on the online distance MA in digital education, and I've been an educator on several MOOCs. I also supervise doctoral students, and I was one of Fresh Day's supervisors when she was doing her PhD. So over to Fresh Day.
Thank you, Bronwyn. Hello, I'm Fresh Day Gustafsson, a lecturer at the Institute of Educational Technology at Open University. Currently, I'm mainly working on different international research and development projects, especially in low and middle income countries. And they all have a focus on online and digital education, and particularly on capacity development of the educators. I am also a former graduate, as Bronwyn said, of the Centre for Research in Digital Education at the University of Leeds. And I'm very happy to be here today.
Could you please describe briefly your paper, 12 Tips for Engaging Learners in Online Discussion, and the previous paper, Look at Who's Talking, Exploring Instructors' Contributions to MOOCs?
Okay, both papers are outcomes of my doctoral project, and they both focus on educators' contribution to massive open online courses, especially when they interact with learners. But the papers, they are developed and written for different purposes, and one covers the theoretical finding of my doctoral study, and the other one is written for practice, and Bronwyn will explain about it more. The first paper, which is about the theoretical aspect of educators' contribution to MOOC discussion area, basically looks at what educators do in discussion area of these courses. And it was at that time interesting for us because massive open online courses have a totally different dynamic. You have usually you have a large number of learners, thousands, probably hundreds or thousands of them. They are, because these courses are open, the learners come from different educational background, different ages, different language level proficiency. And also you don't have just one educator, you have a team of educators between 5 and 12, for example, educators. So the dynamic of what traditionally is known as student-teacher interaction in these online, open online courses is quite different. And we wanted to see what happens, especially at the time that I did my PhD, there wasn't much research about what educators do. And we found what, in that paper, we found what educators do, what do they say, and how they try to support learners. But we also found that the conceptual framework that we were using and was developed for traditional online courses can still be used for open and massive online courses with a bit of adjustment. This one was the theoretical aspect, and Bronwyn can tell about the second paper, which deals with the practical aspect of my findings.
Thank you, Fresh Day. So yes, the 12 Tips paper is part of a series of papers in medical teacher. And these are practical help on a series of teaching topics. And as Fresh Day said, this particular paper came out of a lot of the findings from her PhD, but it also came from mine and James's experience of both being educators on MOOCs. So James Pickering, who's also an author, he developed one of the first MOOCs at Leeds, which was on anatomy education. And I've also been an educator on three MOOCs, and I've also got experience of teaching on a fully online distance course, a master's. So this paper provides 12 tips, and these are recommendations for creating engaging online discussions that both support and challenge learners' understanding. So they touch on facilitating online discussions, producing engaging discussion tasks, and creating a balanced educator presence. They do focus on MOOCs, but they are also relevant for any online environment. And I think we're going to talk about some of the tips in more detail as we go forward.
In your paper, Look Who's Talking, you had a unique approach to make sure that the information gathered went beyond self-reporting. Do you think instructors are aware of the many engagement issues which come up when using a MOOC format, or are generally unaware?
Okay, that's a very good question, Luke. And there are two aspects to that question. First, about going beyond self-reporting. And I explain a little bit about that, what we mean by going beyond self-reporting. Basically, methods such as interviews. When you interview educators, especially about their practices, sometimes because something is a part of their practice and they do it so frequently, they even don't notice it. So they don't talk about it sometimes. And it's a kind of lack of noticing because it becomes a part of their nature. And the second thing is sometimes, and this is not what I'm saying, but literature is saying that educators, sometimes they talk about what they would like to do, but not actually what they do. As a result, in addition to interviewing educators to understand what they do, a big part of the project was looking and analyzing the conversation that actually happened between educator and learners, and finding about educators' contribution through that way. But the interviewed, which are relevant to the second part of your question, show that, yes, they are aware of the engagement issue. However, at the time that I was doing the PhD, MOOCs were quite new. And what happened was educators had the measures and the criteria that we use for traditional online courses for engagement. And now literature and new research is telling that this is not the right way of looking at engagement in MOOCs. So all the educators were concerned, oh, our learners do not complete the course, but completion is not a good measure for the MOOC. Probably my motivation as a learner is just to go do certain steps or certain weeks, get what I want and come out. So that learner actually achieved and completed because that was the motivation or that was the goal. So back to your question, yes, they were aware, but probably they didn't have the right criteria or the right measure to look at the engagement. And with some other aspects of engagement, I think after running the first MOOC or the first run of the MOOC, they were experienced. So they were telling me that in the second run or in the third run, we did this or we did that. And I think with the experience, they develop better strategies and awareness of students' engagement.
So just to follow up on just something that you said there, what would be a better way of assessing or evaluating MOOCs rather than going by like full-on participation? Would it be better, for instance, if the learners kind of put forward at the start, this is what I want to get from it, or what would be a good way of assessing it?
This is something because Bronwyn has written a paper related to this much before I did my PhD, but the new research is showing that, and don't forget that I'm talking about discussion areas because that's where I research. New research is telling so far the best approach they've found to look at the engagement of learners with the discussion areas is to find what subpopulation of learners exist in discussion areas So you can't have one measure for all learners, because there are learners with different motivations and different needs. So in a recent paper that UCL has published, they define different subpopulation of learners. Then for each population, they define engagement criteria. And then based on that engagement criteria, they examine whether that subpopulation is engaging or not engaging. So I think research in this area is also developing, and researchers are coming up with new and more appropriate way of looking at the engagement. But with subpopulation, I remember that Bronwyn also did some work.
Yeah, one of the first pieces of research I did related to MOOCs was when MOOCs first appeared, and people were very curious about what was this phenomenon, that I looked at a sample of 25,000 learners on a series of different MOOCs and wanted to find out what their demographics were and what their motivations were. And you did find a really big range of motivations for people joining a MOOC. And they range from, you know, it could be a sixth form, somebody waiting, you know, doing their A-levels, thinking about going to university. Do I want to do medicine at Leeds? Well, what is their anatomy course like? Or it could be somebody who is a health professional who wants to do some CPD. Or it could be somebody who's just vaguely interested and is retired and is a lifelong learner. You know, and it, those levels of engagement are very different. And I think that the research into MOOCs has matured in that way, that we don't at all think of MOOCs as being one cohort. And so engagement can be very, very different. And I think a lot of the research now talks about success being different for different groups. And that is something that, you know, you really do have to take into consideration.
Thank you very much. I just find that quite fascinating. Moving on to the next question. One of your tips, I believe it's tip 11, for engaging people was to engage lurkers on MOOCs. What is a good way to get these people to interact with the class? Do they always have traditional responses like speaking or writing a comment? Are these always good ways of engaging on a MOOC, or are there better alternative ways to contribute?
So there's always been lurkers in MOOCs, and lurkers are people who, learners in MOOCs, who don't get involved in the discussion areas. So they may well read a lot of it. We don't really know, because you can't collect data on whether somebody reads a comment, but they may like a comment and they may bookmark a comment and things like that, but they won't necessarily make a comment. And early research in MOOCs did show that the majority of learners in MOOCs didn't get involved in this way, but not everybody wants to, and that's perfectly okay if that's the learning strategy that somebody has. But we also know that there's a lot of benefit from being involved in discussion area. You can share ideas, you can clarify points, you can feel less isolated, which is a really important aspect of an online course, is that you form a community with other learners. I did some research along with James. We used the anatomy MOOC as an additional piece of an additional resource for undergraduate students at Leeds. And then I did some focus groups with them, and they all said that they didn't comment in the MOOCs. And I said, well, why didn't you? And they said, I just felt so overwhelmed by the thousands of comments that were in there. And I'm still learning. I'm not an expert. And I just felt like I had nothing to contribute. And so I think that always has to be borne in mind. And so an educator can really try to encourage anybody to get involved by saying no question is too stupid. You know, you can really encourage people in that way. But on the MA, the way that, because it's really important for the master's students to get involved in the discussions, one of the things that I've really been looking at during the pivot to online during lockdown is that whole debate about whether you should have cameras on or cameras off. And I think there are lots of reasons why students don't put their cameras on. It can be that they don't have the bandwidth available to do it, or they don't want anybody to see their home context. They may have family there, they may have children in the room, but they may just lack that confidence. And so what I do with my students is accept for a while, and then when they're in breakout rooms, they're much more likely to put their cameras on. And so you can just tried to slowly encourage students to do things like this. I encourage them to have their audio on, but they don't always want to do that. So you get them to discuss in the chat. But there are lots of other tools and strategies. One of the tools I use a lot is Padlet. And students really, really like to use Padlet because it's very visually appealing. It's very easy to use. It can be anonymous or not anonymous, depending on your settings. But it means that students can write lots of comments and then they can like each other's. They can reply to each other's. And then it's a really nice way to then say to somebody, I see you've written that. Could you tell us more about it? And they've then got validation for something they've said. And it really encourages them to get involved. So there are lots of ways you can try to really encourage people to get involved in discussion forums and in chat situations.
What is a good approach at challenging learners' thinking and understanding without potentially decreasing the challenged learners' engagement?
Okay, that is another very good question. And that is something that sometimes even doesn't happen in face-to-face teaching, never mind online teaching. And this is what was one of the main findings of our research, that educators support learning, but necessarily do not challenge it. And by challenging, I'll tell you what I mean by supporting learning and challenging learning or students' understanding. What we do, for example, we say, for example, discuss three advantages of flipped classroom and three disadvantages. So it remains at the level of discussion. You know, you trigger a concept that, okay, there is a concept like flipped classroom. And then people discuss, they go and research, they share what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages. But this is where most educators leave the discussion. And based on the conceptual framework that we used for research, you should help students to go beyond this level of discussion, which gets to coming up with conclusion and application of what they've learned. And it's okay, you now know about the advantages and disadvantages. So here is a scenario, or here is an example. What do you think, or how do you think this flat classroom can be used for this scenario? So it's not just at the level of discussion, but at the level of application. And because I'm focusing on discussion area, it all refers back to how you design the task for that discussion. So a task clearly, at least for the educator, needs to have the four stages. Okay, here I familiarize students with the concept. Here I let them to discuss it. And now, let's see if they can apply it, the concept or what we are discussing or not. And the literature around community of inquiry, which we used as our conceptual framework, tells that the scenario-based activities, problem-based activities, are usually the best to indirectly challenge students' understanding and, you know, make sure that they've learned and it's not just at the level of discussion. And at University of Leeds, back in 2014, there was a MOOC called Business Innovation or Innovation in Business. And that MOOC won different awards, and simply because it was all based on real scenarios like M&S Scenario, Business Innovation, Kodak and other brands. And you could see like really lively discussion, and the quality of discussions in that MOOC that I analyzed was very different from other MOOCs. And I could see that how a well-designed task can take the hands of students, you know, from discussion to application. And that was that is what I'm trying to do with my own students as much as I can.
In tip two, you ask for reflection on who owns the discussion area, with the idea, should it be the learner or staff-led? Could there also be a potential issue of certain learners dominating the discussion areas and that putting off other contributions? If so, how could staff regulate more enthusiastic users without putting them off?
I think that's a really, really good question. Thank you, Luke. I think it all really comes down to explaining what the purpose of a discussion area is and what are the rules of it. So everybody really who comes on a MOOC or who comes on an online course has probably had some experience of social media, maybe Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And we've all seen some of the really unacceptable comments in those areas. And that has to be one of the early things you say is that you have to be respectful of each other. You have to be respectful of each other's ideas. But you do have to be respectful of giving each other space. And I think that's something, you know, to be said really early on. And in Future Learn, they give notes about this, explaining what the etiquette of being on that platform is. And there's a mechanism to monitor that. And not really for people who overengage or who dominate a discussion, but for those people who might be using incorrect, inappropriate language. And it's something we do on the masters, is we explain what is the purpose of the discussion areas, what is the purpose of the weekly seminars, and how much it benefits people to be involved. But when I'm facilitating a discussion with my master's students, sometimes you do get people who get quite enthusiastic. And so you have to draw other people in. What do other people think? That's a really, really good comment. What do other people's what is other people's experience of that? Because one of the great things about MOOCs and about the masters that I teach on is that people are from all over the world. They're from very different contexts, even on the masters, where everybody is an educator of some sort. I've got one from Nigeria, one from Singapore, one from Canada. So they're very different contexts. So that's what it's not a case of trying to close somebody down. It's a case of trying to bring somebody else in, I think, is the strategy that I would always use.
Thank you so much for coming on. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. For more information about our work, please visit the School of Education website. If you have any questions about our research, or if you would like to study with us at the University of Leeds, you can contact the Research Centre Director, Professor Michalis Kontopodis, for further details. You will find all relevant links and contact details in the programme description.